When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Hey, it's Enrico Palazzo!
You should have been pulled in the front room, they have faith in you. You should have been pulled.
Hello and welcome everyone to a Palazzo Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Two L's, two Z's. I'm your host today, Britton Allen, and I am very pumped, very excited, and honored to have a very special guest host today. I'm talking about a man who co-hosts the most popular fantasy baseball podcast in the world. The Sleeper in the Bus. Y'all know The Sleeper in the Bus with Paul Spohr. It is awesome. I love the information. They're fun. They're cool. It's a really great podcast. It's called The Sleeper in the Bus. This guest also writes for Fangraphs and also happens to be married to one of the nicest people I know. Shout out, Danielle. I hope you're doing well. It is, of course, the Justin Mason. What's up, Justin?
Nothing much. I appreciate the amazing intro. Just another beautiful Thursday morning. I guess Thursday afternoon for you.
It is noon central time here in beautiful Nashville, Tennessee. So what time is it in California these days?
It is 10 a.m. It is going to be hot, but right now it's pretty nice. So just kind of enjoying some beautiful weather, going to watch some baseball and, you know, just kind of try to make it through the workday.
Well, thank you again for taking the time to record this podcast. I love talking baseball with you. And let me tell our listeners a very quick Justin Mason story. So I first met Justin about 2 years ago at the Arizona Fall League in Mesa, Arizona, in the parking lot of the hotel where they were having all the, great events. And so I see Justin over there and, okay, I'll admit it. I was a little starstruck, a little bit, to meet one of the co-hosts of the most famous, popular podcast, fantasy baseball podcast in the world. But I said, you know what? He seems like a nice guy. I'm going to go up and introduce myself and, not bother anybody, but just say, hey, so-and-so, I like the podcast, no big deal. So I walk over, I stick out my hand, and I go, hello, Justin, my name is Britton, and I just wanted to say I really love your podcast. Justin looks at me, slaps my hand away, and says, excuse me, I am a superstar celebrity. Who gave you permission to speak to me? Of course, I am just kidding. The only thing true about that story was that I did see Justin in the parking lot and I did introduce myself, and he couldn't have been nicer, couldn't have been more gracious. Pretended at least to be happy to meet me. And I also met Danielle, who was out there too. So I love sharing that story because I love going to Arizona Farley. The first time I went, I didn't know anybody, literally. So I just went and introduced myself. And Justin was one of the first people I met. And couldn't have been cooler, couldn't have been nicer. So I always like to tell that story, especially when Justin's on. So if you see him out in Arizona Fall League, I promise he will be gracious and nice. And he won't slap anything.
No.
Well,
I'm not much of a slapper.
The day. Yeah.
No. Yeah. Maybe as the night goes on, we get to know each other better. So I remember the first time I was at Tout Wars in New York. I remember nobody knew who I was. And there were a number of people in the industry who were huge names, at the time. And everybody was super nice to me and invited me, for drinks and invited me to hang out. And it was a really, really cool moment for me. And so I know when we go to events Arizona Fall League, or we go to events like Tout Wars or Labor, there's always going to be kind of newer people who they feel awkward, right? I remember being starstruck by Paul and being starstruck by Jason or Todd Zola or, Jeff Erickson, and all of those guys, they kind of welcomed me with open arms and made me feel part of the community. And so I feel like it's my duty as a member of the industry now to make sure when we're out at events, especially Arizona Fall League, because there's so many people there, to make sure that nobody feels left out and nobody feels like they're not a part of the group, because we are a really close knit community that's very, very welcoming. And so, I remember meeting you. I've gotten to meet your wife. She's got a Justin Mason bathing suit, which I
that's true. She wore it when we went to the beach last year. She wore it. I asked her if I could take a picture and put it on X, and she goes, no. But it wasn't because of the bathing suit, obviously. But meeting you and Danielle was a lot of fun, and everybody is always super nice and super friendly at Arizona Fall League. And I'm going again this year. How about you? Are you? Do you have a chance to go?
I should be able to go. I've already told Brent and Ray that I'm planning on being there. I do have some weird job stuff going on right now, where my position at my full-time job is being eliminated, and they're going to be moving me into another one. And so I'm hoping that's not going to affect my ability to go. But as long as nothing crazy happens there, I should be there. Danielle should be there. We won't be there the first day because it's Halloween, and we've got kids. So we're gonna do the Halloween thing and show up on November 1st.
Yes, Sarah is going to stay home with the kids and do the Halloween thing. And I received the green light from my daughters. Yeah, they're like we're getting candy whether you're here or not. So, yeah. See you never, Daddy. And I'm like, oh, well, okay. Okay, then I'll be there for the first day. But enough talk about us. I want to talk about some fantasy baseball, because it has been a crazy 48 hours with injuries and all kinds of weirdo things going on. And injuries not just to rando players, but injuries to premier high pick studs like Edwin Diaz, the closer for the Mets. He got put on the IL with a right shoulder impingement. He had been having a really, really bad year, struggling. He was out all last year. I don't know how long the IL stint's going to be, but when you hear right shoulder for a pitcher, not good. Not great, Bob. And so you figure Adam Ottavino is probably the next guy up, because he handles the eighth inning. And then he goes and blows two saves. And then a dude named Jorge Lopez, he gets knocked around for 2 days, and he throws his glove into the stand. I've never seen that before. Have you ever seen that before, Justin?
I mean, I've seen in the NFL the Antonio Brown throwing his shirt off, than that, it's been a while since I can remember a baseball kind of situation like this with Jorge Lopez. I mean, he's tried to backtrack his comments and make it seem like he just, I wasn't talking about my teammates or the team. I was talking about my situation, and they've already DFA'd him. Who knows if at this point in his career, if he'll get picked up, but the Mets situation is kind of a mess. I thought they were a mediocre team at best, and they haven't even played up to those standards. Now you lose Edwin Diaz. Like you said, Ottavino has been hurt, or not hurt, but pitching poorly. I would assume Ottavino is the next guy up. I know they have Reed Garrett there, but they like him in a multi-inning relief role, and Diekman is a lefty, and now without Lopez, they don't have very many lefties in that bullpen. Not to mention, the Mets suck. They're 22-33, and they're probably going to be looking to trade some of these older players like Ottavino, and so building up a little bit of his value right now isn't the worst thing in the world. So my guess is Ottavino is the guy for at least right now, but it also could be shared around.
Yeah, Ottavino hadn't looked good either, but who else they got? You know, I mean, I agree with exactly what you're saying about Reed Garrett. They're going to use him as kind of the fireman role. But so Adam Ottavino is the pickup if you're desperate for saves. The Mets are a disaster, but that can turn around. Unfortunately, Pete Alonso got hit on the hand. X-rays were negative, but they're going to do further tests of his hand. Obviously, that's it's a pretty important part of a batter. needs his hand not to be broken. But it looks like Mark Vientos will, if Pete Alonso goes on the aisle, do you have any interest in Mark Vientos?
Vientos is like a power-only bat. And while I know he is only striking out at 20% rate right now, and he's hitting 300, like, those skills are not in his profile. He's got like 75% zone contact, which is 10% swing strike rate. That's more indicative of a guy who's going to strike out at a 35% clip, which is kind of what he's done all throughout the majors and the minors. There is a ton of power in the bat. Like, he's a legit 30-homer bat if he were to get full-time playing time, and the Mets are giving him that playing time right now. Problem is, will they continue to give him the playing time if he's striking out a ton? I don't know. But for if you're looking for short-term power, Vientos makes sense.
That's Mark Vientos for the Mets. If Pete Alonso goes on the IL, he may not. But keep your eye on it if you want a corner infielder with power. Mark Vientos may be the guy. And more injuries. I mean, we just, you know, you got to hit this thing head on because this is how fantasy baseball works. But Yu Darvish was hurt for the Padres. He lasted 3 innings, and he was having a really good year. Hamstring tightness. He's 37 years old. He's going to go on the IL. I don't know if he's been placed on there, but it's a certainty. So you figure, well, if Yu Darvish goes on the IL, he probably will. He'll take a little break. I kind of like the Padres. Will they call up Robbie Snelling? I don't know. What about Johnny Brito? He looks like he's their long reliever for the Padres. He might be their SP5. If Darvish goes on the IL, do you have any interest in my boy Johnny Brito?
I think you could find other options. I don't think Brito is much more than like just kind of a last resort in a 15-team league. Maybe he could be a streamer in good matchups. I don't know what their schedule is coming up right now, but I've never been a Brito guy. Command and control is a problem. He doesn't have overpowering stuff. And so, no, I would probably just go a different direction. There are a number of other, you know, there's another there's a guy on his team, Matt Waldron, who's widely available in a lot of leagues that I think I'd rather have than a guy like Brito. So, and I don't expect Darvish to be out long. Tightness, you know, we're not talking about like a grade 2 hamstring pull or strain or something like that. I think this if he does go on the I wouldn't worry too much about Brito.
Yeah, I love Matt Waldron, too, for the Padres. He throws that cool knuckleball. I love watching that. I love watching video of that knuckleball. And Waldron's been great, too, recently. 31 Ks in his last 23 innings pitch. And the Angels are his next start. So you definitely want to take a look at that. Another injury, Alek Manoah. I've always been an Alek Manoah guy because – you know, I just think he struggled. He was at the top, and Cy Young voting, and then he bottomed out. And then it looks like he was, kind of coming up on a resurgence, which I always root for. I'm like, face hard times, hit it head on and come back. And it looked like he was starting down that road. But, man, what a bummer. Yesterday he had to leave his start against the White Sox, which, of course, I started him everywhere because I was like, the White Sox are a disaster. But he's going to get an MRI for elbow soreness. Not great, Bob. What do you think? Did you have any Alek Manoah shares?
No, I was very highly invested in Manoah last year, and he burnt me pretty good. So I kind of stayed away from Manoah this year, even when he came up. He's pitching decently well, especially that start against Tampa Bay was really, really good. A little bit more shaky when he went up against Detroit, and then, of course, he gets hurt against the White Sox. But at least he pitched like a good, inning and two thirds with three strikeouts. Take that. I think the hard part with Manoah is you kind of never know what you're going to get start to start. He doesn't have overpowering stuff, and so he's really reliant on really good control and command, which can kind of elude him at times. So if he is going to the IL, I think he's a pretty easy cut, especially with an injury like this. You're always worried about Tommy John surgery. So I'm obviously wait and see like what the results kind of say. Maybe this is nothing and he and they just kind of give him a little breather. But more likely than not, this is going to be an injury that's going to keep him out a while. And I don't think he's good enough to be holding on to your IL or onto your bench.
Yeah, those are all great points. Keep your eye on Ricky Tiedemann. I don't know if they're planning on calling anybody up. But Ricky Tiedemann for the Toronto Blue Jays is their, superstar pitching prospect that's high on most people's prospect boards. His name's Ricky Tiedemann. If Alek Manoah is gone for the year, which I would bet on it if I could, and I hate to do it, Alek. I'm rooting for you, man. But when you get an MRI for your elbow soreness, that's not good. But they're also, injuries happen. So I love to not love, but I want to talk about it because you can be 6th or 7th in your league and the teams ahead of you, the players get injured, happens to everybody. So now's the time to pounce and deal with these injuries and talk about players to pick up and a starting outfielder for, I would say just about every league, three outfielder, whoever was Tyler O'Neill for the Red Sox. He was coming on strong with power, but now he's out. Knee inflammation on the IL. Injuries have rocked him his entire career. When he plays well. He can knock anything out of the park anytime he wants. I say, we don't know how long he'll be out, but give me Willier Abreu. This guy is starting to bat second in the lineup for the Red Sox every day. He had a great end of the season last year. What do you think about Willier Abreu for the Red Sox?
Yeah, Abreu is a really interesting bat. He hits the ball hard. There's some speed and power in the profile. The problem is he's not going to play full-time. He's going to be a strong side platoon kind of bat because he's terrible against lefties, and the Red Sox won't even use him against lefties. So it depends really on your depth of league. There's some leagues where you're not going to be able to use a guy that's not playing every day. If you're in like a 10-team league, do you want a guy who's going to be sitting maybe a third of the time? But in 12-team and 15-team leagues, there's a lot of value, especially if you're in a daily moves league, right, where you can set your lineup every day and you can see whether he's in the lineup or not. There is good power, and he's hitting for average too. Now, he has a 365 BABIP, which tells you, that batting average may come down and he may be more like a 260 guy. But even a 260 guy that can hit, for a good amount of pop and steal bases has value. I haven't been the biggest Willier Abreu fan, but he's made adjustments in season to kind of bring up that zone contact and not lose power at the same time. So I've kind of come around a little bit on Willier Abreu.
Willier, I love you, Willier. You're right, though. It's got to be a daily moves league because he does sit against lefties. I don't know if that'll change with O'Neill being gone. Probably not, because Ruff Snyder, they can play him. So anytime – I like to add him, and anytime I see that 2 next to his name on the day, I go ahead and try to plug him in because I love players that bat second. And that's Willier Abreu for the Red Sox. Another bummer. Justin, I don't like to be the mayor of Bummerville. I'm a positive person, or at least I try to be. but Kerry Carpenter, Kerry with the K. What up, Kerry? I like him a lot. He plays for the Detroit Tigers. He was having a great start to the year, but now he is on the IL. And who do we like? Who is sneaking around the Tigers, purring, just sitting there waiting to pounce? It's Matt Vierling. And you're like, what? I'm like, no, seriously, Matt Vierling has been white hot, like habanero green sauce hot, not that trash red stuff. That's not hot. So I like Matt Vierling. He's outfield and third base eligible. Four home runs in the past 3 days. What do you say? Are you gonna come over to the big cats with me? The big cats at the zoo with Matt Vierling?
Yeah, it's been pretty brutal because he's sitting on the bench on my main event team right now, just hitting bombs left and right.
Oh,
I love a guy who is infield and outfield eligible, right? Because you can play him at third base, you can play him in the outfield, you can play him, you know, at your CI spot. It just gives your team so much more flexibility with the amount of injuries we've dealt with just in Major League Baseball and fantasy baseball in general. It's been pretty brutal. A guy who's kind of eligible in, you know, in the infield and outfield really, really helps. I mean, we've seen kind of these hot streaks by Vierling before. I don't think he's an overly talented player, but he is hitting like second or third in that lineup fairly regularly right now. That has value because the higher you hit up in the lineup, the more plate appearances you get and the more opportunities. And while he's hot, you can kind of ride it. Now he'll go back to being cold and I'm sure he'll lose playing time at some point as well. But I mean, that's a problem for later. Worry about right now. He's in the lineup every day, hitting high up. So Vierling is definitely a guy that I would be going after.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like the hot players because I believe in the French phrase carpe diem, which means red sauce sucks. I'm just kidding. It's Latin. It means seize the day. But hey, speaking of hot sauce, are you a hot sauce guy?
I am a hot sauce guy. I actually make my own hot sauce.
You make your own hot sauce. Is it like vinegar based? Is this a secret? Are you allowed to tell?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I kind of do different things every time. I do add vinegar often to kind of help preserve it because I often make way too much. And the vinegar helps it last a little bit longer. But and I'm a big hot sauce fan. I really, really like spicy foods. I actually, as I roll away, I actually bought a few of these, which is the hottest chip in the world for the one chip challenge, to hope to find someone who'd be willing to do it with me on a live stream.
I am up to said challenge. If you're taking applicants, I am a huge hot sauce person. I love, my favorite is called the Green Dragon at Trader Joe's. It's delicious. It's habanero, water, lime. Absolutely love it. Knocks the socks off, so to speak. But yeah, anytime you want to give that challenge a go, I would love to do it.
Well, maybe I'll bring it to Arizona and we can do it live.
A live challenge. That would be great. I don't know if they're going to allow us to be on a podcast together in Arizona, Justin, because of things that occurred last year. I think there may be some type of internal memo about that
in the baseball. Yeah, you guys HQ. May have a hard time finding a time slot on the podcast.
I think that was a one and done situation due to our certain behaviors, but we don't need to get into it. But so Matt Vierling, I really like. He's 27 years old, like you said, outfield, third base. For the season, he's got a 289 BA that helps, seven home runs, batting second or third for the Tigers. I think that's pretty cool. So take a look at Matt Vierling if you want to change out, have a little flexibility, somebody slumping, not producing, or if you got injuries for Tyler O'Neill and whatnot. I got some other bummer news, man. Junior Caminero for the Rays is on the IL. Look, his injury says 4 to 6 weeks. So let's say it's 5 weeks. And then after that, you know, he's got to go back to AAA and rehab and then, blah, blah, you know, whatever. I think he's a drop. And if you were stashing him, I think you have to drop him in redraft leagues. What do you say?
Yeah, this is why I don't tend to stash guys, just generally speaking, unless I really think there's a strong possibility they're going to be up really, really. And I know a lot of people. Of his talent at the high minors yet, and didn't really show much in the majors last year. So I just think it's a bad practice for every guy that, like, for every Paul Skeens there is where we stash and it comes up, there's like three or four guys that, you know, either never come up or aren't very good when they come up. So I think just stashing is kind of a bad policy. So I have no problem dropping him in a redraft league. Now, in a dynasty keeper league, obviously you're holding on. And just kind of waiting to see when he's going to make his next debut. But in redraft, it's just a bad policy for the most part to stash a lot of these guys.
Yeah, I had Junior Caminero in several leagues because I was hoping he was going to come up and change the world. I actually talked about it on our Fab podcast on Sunday. I wanted to put him in our stash house where, you know, stash house like in The Wire with Omar, where you keep all the good drugs and your money. Well, the stash house just got raided by the cops, and the Junior Caminero has been taken and put in the evidence room. So sorry, Junior. I was hoping, looking forward to seeing you come up this year, but I can't wait on you. Got to let you go, my friend. But check this out. There is some good news. TJ Friedel is back. Friend of the Sleeper in the Bust podcast, TJ Friedel. Are you back in on TJ Friedel?
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to be available in a lot of leagues. I think most people held on to him. But like in my TGFBI league, he's on the wire. Somebody dropped him after his most recent injury. And he came back way quicker than anybody expected. I was talking on a podcast earlier today, and I was like I was setting a lineup in a league, and I was like, why is TJ Friedel say he's batting first? Like, he's still on the IL. And I looked, I was like, holy crap. They actually activated him 2 weeks after he was put on the IL for a broken thumb. Yep. So I know he hasn't played particularly well or played particularly much this year, is actually probably more accurate. But they put him straight back into the leadoff spot in Cincinnati. If he's available, go out and spend whatever you need. Like, he'll be a triple digit bid for me this weekend in my TGFBI league. And I just hope I end up with him because, I mean, any guy who is going to lead off in the best park in baseball in front of what should be a much better offense than it's shown so far is a guy I want on my roster.
I love TJ Friedel, too. I wrote him a Valentine's Day card once last year. and his backstory is really interesting. He was a walk-on at the University of Nevada. No scholarship, just came out to tryouts, but he did well. He did not get drafted after his senior year, but he signed on with the Reds as an undrafted free agent and then just worked his way up through the minors. I mean, from A to Triple A, and now he's starting a batting leadoff for the Cincinnati Reds. So I really like that because this guy is a hustle man, a hustler. And he kind of gives me like Jose Ramirez vibes, you know, just kind of like a grind it out every day type of vibe. But TJ Friedel for the Cincinnati Reds, if somebody dropped him, go pick him up because he's like a 2020 guy. Maybe not this year, but he will give you home runs and stolen bases and lead off for the Reds. So so you got TJ Friedel one and what, Ellie De La Cruz second? Yeah. You know, that sounds pretty good. So TJ Friedel, go see if he's out there. A couple other outfielders, since we have all these outfielder injuries. Jake Myers, I'm sure you and Paul have probably talked about Jake Myers. He seems to be pretty popular with the Astros. He's off to a hot start, even with Chase McCormick back. What, do you have any interest in Jake Myers for the Astros?
Yeah, Myers is a really interesting guy because he's always kind of been, like a short side platoon bat. He's a good defender, but he wasn't getting full-time playing time. but he is now, and the skills have actually improved where he's making around league average on contacting the ball hard. You know, he strikes out less than a 20% rate, walks around an 8% rate, which is fine. So if he can continue to kind of do the things he's doing, I think the defense is good enough that he'll stay in the lineup. And the Astros lineup, the Astros lineup has not been the problem in Houston. The problem in Houston has been pitching. And so while Houston has struggled as a team, it's not because like there isn't enough pop in that lineup. So yeah, I think that Myers is one of those guys you want to keep kind of watching and seeing if he's going to continue to play full time, if those skills stay intact. But yeah, he's, I mean, 6 home runs, 3 stolen bases, hitting .289. I'll take that.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, he's definitely on the come up, and the yin and the yang, the good versus evil, the light and the dark. For every Jake Myers going up, there's a Chaz McCormick going down. Justin, I drafted Chaz McCormick everywhere. I was like, well, he was 2020 last year. Now he's going to get full playing time in center field. The spice rack. What's going on with McCormick? Do I need to cut him?
Yeah, I mean, he's just not playing enough. And I mean, I know there were a lot of people that were really, really high on him coming into the year. And I understand why. One, I think there's always like this thing with guys who have kind of like become memes in the fantasy industry where people want them to succeed and be a better player than maybe they are. And there was with him because his picture on the NFBC website was like him in like a suit, or not even a suit, just like a collared shirt and a tie. And so
he looked like he was pledging a fraternity.
Yeah, like everybody called him the accountant, right? Like he looked like he was everybody's accountant.
I forgot about that. That's hilarious.
The underlying skills on McCormick have never actually been that great. He's never been a guy who's even like hit close to like league average zone contact. He does hit the ball hard when he makes contact, but that's kind of slowed down this year. He's got like an 86% average exit velocity, a 1.6% barrel rate. And like, he's just not good enough defensively to supplant a guy like Jake Myers, who is good defensively. So I think he's going to continue to kind of be this bench guy, which really doesn't have value outside of like AL only leagues. So yeah, I think he's a pretty easy cut right now.
Speaking of the Astros, one of my favorite sneaky pickups, well, at least I thought, from last year was Corey Julks. J-U-L-K-S, Corey Julks. He's no longer with the Astros. I think he got DFA'd and then traded something, or maybe he just got straight up traded. But I always liked him. I loved his story. He kind of has a TJ Friedel backstory where he just worked his ass off and, you know, he was playing for the Houston Astros. He went to the University of Houston. I was like, all right, this is somebody I want to root for. But now he plays for the Chicago White Sox. He's batting leadoff for the past, what, 3 games? He's on a hitting streak. It's the White Sox. What do you do? But I don't know if you're batting leadoff for an MLB team. Any interest in Corey Julks?
So I think Corey Julks is a really good example of sometimes the talent overall isn't as important as the role. And because I don't think Julks is a particularly good player. I think he is probably like a fourth outfielder at best on most franchises. But when you're the White Sox and your whole team is made up of fourth outfielders, you might be able to.
How
like,
dare get you? Playing time. Tommy Pham is no fourth outfielder, sir.
I mean, superstar. Tommy Pham, yeah. Tommy Pham is actually probably a third outfielder for sure. But, you know, like they're dealing with a bunch of injuries right now. Like Eloy's hurt, Luis Robert's hurt. You know, like it's just. So Jolks is going to get some playing time here, and he is hitting the ball well. He's making like great, like 93% zone contact right now, hitting the ball harder than he has throughout his career. Now, he doesn't barrel the ball a ton, and so I don't think while he's hitting the ball hard, it is going to like translate into a ton of like counting stats for fantasy. But he can be an accumulator if he's playing every day. The problem is once Luis Robert comes back, once Eloy comes back, he's not going to play every day. So this is a short-term pickup. Use him in good matchups. But ultimately, he's playing on a White Sox team. He doesn't have a ton of power that he can unleash or a ton of speed. And so he's a pretty boring guy outside of like 15-team leagues.
Of course, I've buried the lead, Justin, because looking at my notes, I should have put this guy numero uno, as they say in France. Lane Thomas for the Washington Nationals, he's back. And if you're in a 10-team league or a 12-team league, if he got dropped, stop what you're doing, run over to the computer and pick up Lane Thomas for the Washington Nationals. He's back. He's batting leadoff or second. Which I'd prefer second, actually. So you've got Abrams, you've got Lane Thomas. I think he's a must-grab player if he's on the waiver wire. What do you think about Lane Thomas?
Yeah, I'm not a big Lane Thomas guy, and I was much lower on him than the consensus in terms of other people in the industry where he was going in ADP. That being said, I completely agree with you. Like, just because I did the season, especially at the price he was being drafted at, doesn't mean that if he falls onto the waiver wire and is available, I won't go pick him up because he's probably still better than the majority of the options out there. He does have pop in the bat. I don't know if he's got the 28 homer power that we saw last year. But in spite of struggling and only hitting .210 this year with a .273 on base percentage, he's got 13 stolen bases. Like, they're just running wild in Washington, and he's a part of that. I still think he can be a guy who can hit, like, close to 20 home runs over the course of a full season. Probably won't do it this year because he's missed so much time. But we're talking about a guy who might finish the year with, like, 16, 17 home runs and, you know, like, 30 stolen bases. I'll take that all day long, especially because the batting average should come up. I mean, he's making a really, really good zone contact. He's just getting pretty unlucky with a .240 BABIP. He's a career .299 BABIP guy. So, I think the batting average comes up and he's more like a .270 hitter the rest of the way, probably with like another 10 to 13 home runs and another like probably 13 to 15 stolen bases. And that has a ton of value in fantasy.
Who would you rather pick up if both were available, TJ Friedl or Lane Thomas? Or Jake Myers. Let's throw him in there too, just in case.
It's definitely not Myers. I think Myers is probably the bottom of that list. I think I would go with Friedl just because Friedl's going to be leading off for a much better team in a better park. But it's actually pretty close. Like, I don't think there is that big of a difference. And if I need power more than I need speed, I probably lean Lane Thomas.
I agree too. Lane Thomas has come back with a bang, literally 3 for 4 yesterday with the home run and 3 RBI. Right back in the mix, Lane Thomas for the Washington Nationals. Plus, I love the Washington Nationals Park. It's a great place to pitch. I mean, to hit. So, yeah, I like Lane Thomas a lot. Even though, I want both players. But if you have to pick one, you can only roster one on your bench or whatever, I would do Lane Thomas. And also, Lane Thomas from Knoxville, Tennessee. Go Big Orange. Take that, Vanderbilt Commodores. Get out of this SEC tournament. All right, so that was my random UT outburst for the day. Okay, so another outfielder that I was looking at, I would love to get your opinion, Adam Duvall. And for the Braves, of course, we all know Ronald Acuna. I'm really struggling today, Justin. I've only had like 5 cups of coffee. I don't know what the problem is. Adam Duvall for the Atlanta Braves. It looks like he's going to be their right fielder with Acuna out. So you got Kelnick in left. You got Harris in the middle. Adam Duvall, you know, it's not too long ago where he cranked 30-plus home runs in Atlanta. People forget that he was in Atlanta for a couple years, and now he's back. So he's familiar with Atlanta. He likes hitting in Atlanta. What do you think? Does he get full-time playing time now that Acuna's gone? And if so, are you interested?
I'm not super interested. He may play regularly, and that is a powerful, you know, bat inside of that Atlanta lineup. But, I mean, he is not the guy he has been previously in his career. I mean,
right.
And he's actually really, really struggling against right-handed pitching right now. He's hitting 119 against righties. Which is just not something you can sustain if you're going to keep playing time on a team that is a playoff contender. They've already signed Ramon Laureano to a minor league deal, which tells you they're looking for things. So I would not be surprised if they don't reach out to some sort of team here in the near future and go, hey, we need an outfielder. They've got plenty of minor league depth they can trade from. I'd be honestly shocked if, you know, by the All-Star break, Adam Duvall is a starter.
Yeah, maybe a Tommy Pham situation, which I don't know if Tommy Pham adds to their chemistry or not in Atlanta, but they may not care. They just need production. So
I mean, it's a team that's played with Marcelo Zuna for the last, you know, 5 years. So, like, what do they care about team chemistry?
That's a great point. Marcelo Zuna killing it, by the way, doing really well. He's like their one productive player. Albies is in a slump. Harris is not great. I mean, Morel, you know, everybody's just, it's just, you know, you assume it's going to turn around or maybe not. What do you think? Are the Braves just, is this just one of those years?
No, I mean, I think they're going to be fine. Like they're too talented of a team. And I think the hard part right now for them is the Phillies have just been so hot, right? Like if the Phillies weren't like the best team in baseball right now, we wouldn't be talking about the Braves struggling. They're still, you know, 31-22, which is fine at this point in the season. Obviously, losing Acuna is, you know, huge, just a huge loss that they're just, you know, going to struggle with. But that pitching is still really, really good. Chris Sale has been a Cy Young candidate this year. Charlie Morton continues to, like, figure out how to make things work with, like, just an arsenal that is clearly deteriorated. So, and Max Fried is, you know, I think
he's turned it around.
Yeah, his arm's gonna fall off at some point, but like maybe not this year. So, like, I think they're gonna be fine. They're gonna, you know, they're gonna stay in that wild card race, and the Phillies will slow down at some point. And you know, and I think the Braves should still win that division. But I think in recent years we've seen them like not make huge moves at the deadline because they didn't need to. And I think this is a year where they're gonna need to if they want to win that division.
Yeah, their general manager in front office knows the right moves to make. You know, that year they traded for Eddie Rosario, Adam Duvall, like all solid contributors that helped them win the World Series that year. So they've done it before, you know, and that was the year Acuna was out. One last outfielder, and then we'll move on, I promise. I've always liked Trevor Larnach for the Twins. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly. I say Larnach, you know, because I'm from the South and I can't speak right. I say, hey, there's Trevor Larnach, but he's an outfielder for the Minnesota Twins. He bats leadoff against righties. He's a power lefty bat, kind of a maybe not a post-hype sleeper. I'm not sure he ever got that much hype, but he plays every day for the Twins, at least recently, bats for leadoff against righties. What do you think, Trevor Larnach for the Twins? Yay, or what are you talking about, Willis?
I've always liked Larnach. Like he's one of those guys that he doesn't, there's nothing that really jumps off the page at you, but he does have power in his bat. And he is making, you know, a fair amount of in zone contact, which is what you want to see. 87% zone contact is above league average. So like the problem with Larnach is I don't know how safe that playing time is. You know, once guys like Royce Lewis are back, You know, they have Jose Miranda's playing well also. If Royce Lewis comes back and pushes Jose Miranda to DH, is Larnach the guy that kind of loses out here? Or do they try to platoon Larnach and Miranda? I think once they start to get healthy, what happens to Larnach's playing time? Because he's definitely not a good defender. And he's not like an overwhelming bat where you go, well, we have to have this guy in the lineup. So my fear is that the Twins demote him. Now that's a problem for later. You'll hear me say that quite a bit, because I think most people are playing 10 and 12 team leagues. You shouldn't worry about the future. You know, you should be worrying about what can help you win right now. I think Larnach's one of those guys that, you know, get it for a decent average and deliver you a little bit of pop. But if you're thinking more like, okay, what am I going to do? If you've got like limited fab or limited amount of pickups for the season, I don't know if Larnach's the guy you really want to kind of cast your net with. I think he's more of a guy that's going to be helpful for the next few weeks. And then in a few weeks, he might be droppable.
Yeah, definitely. Daily moves, daily lineups, unlimited drop ads. It couldn't hurt to pick up Trevor Larnach and just ride the wave. But they've also got Kirilloff there. He can play outfield too. The Russian gangster, he's actually playing pretty well too. But keep your eye on Trevor Larnach. But as far as those outfielders, I think we agree. We want Lane Thomas number one, Friedel number two, and then look at Jake Myers, and then Adam Duvall and Trevor Larnach. But Lane Thomas and Friedel one and two. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think for me it's Friedel, Friedel, and then who's the other guy you just mentioned?
Lane, good old
Lane. Yeah. Friedel and Lane Thomas are like 1A, 1B, and then Jake Myers would be kind of the next guy, and then I think I'd put Larnach above Duvall for right now, but in a couple weeks we may be saying Larnach's back in the minors and Duvall still has a job.
Oh, I forgot to put Matt Vierling in that. You know, my sneaky little purry tiger. I want to rub his belly.
I think I'd put Vierling above Larnach, and I put Vierling above Duvall. I think him versus Myers is a really interesting conversation because Vierling's playing time, I think, is set right now, and I mean would be somewhat set throughout the season, but I don't know if he's a full-time player once the Tigers get healthy.
Yeah, I totally agree. All interesting in their own right, but I like Lane Thomas and Friedel and Vierling because they're hot right now, and as we say in Paris, carpe diem. Mm-hmm. So go get the guys that are hitting at the top of the order, because that's where the managers put the best hitters, at the top of the order. They don't put them at eight. They don't put them at seven. They put them one, two, or three. So take a look at those guys. All right, let's switch to hitters, and we'll just go run through these pretty quick. We're coming up on an hour, but a couple guys, one we've already mentioned, Matt Waldron. He's been really, really good recently, 31 Ks in the past 23 innings pitched, gets the Angels the next start, plays for the Padres, throws that really cool knuckleball. Another guy that's been hot, Braxton Garrett. He sounds like a race car driver, but he plays the starting pitcher for the Marlins. He his last two starts, won them both, one ERA, one earned run in his last 14 innings pitched. That's pretty good. He's a lefty, a little bit of buzz from last year, but he plays for the Marlins, so maybe not so much this year. What about Braxton Garrett? Do you have any interest?
I'm a big Braxton Garrett fan, and I have been for a long time. I think Braxton Garrett has the kind of stuff, especially because it's from the left-hand side, to be like a top 30, top 40 starter in fantasy. Now, he started off the year dealing with a bunch of injuries and didn't look very good when he first debuted. But I think you can chalk a lot of that up to kind of rust and not getting the full spring training that he would have normally got. He's protected by that cavernous stadium in Miami. The main issues, because there's more than one with Garrett, is one, he's a guy who has somewhat of a spotty command track record. And so when he's not commanding things well, he can give up home runs. But like I said, he is protected by that park a little bit. the other bigger issues are, one, the injuries. He's a guy who's dealt with injuries off and on throughout his career in the majors and the minors. He's just coming off of an injury that cost him most of spring training and the first part of the season. And then the Marlins just suck. The Marlins are atrocious. And like, they're not even like pretending like they're not. Like, they traded Luis Arraez, and their general manager's comments were like, yeah, we're not very good. And they're like, you never want to hear that from an organization. You at least want to hear them lie and say like, oh, we're trying. So like, his win potential, the win potential for Braxton Garrett is super low because the team doesn't.
He's got to shut him out. Yeah, he's got to shut out the opposing team.
Yeah, and hope that his team scores runs in the first five or six innings in order to give him a chance for a win.
You're hoping Jazz Chisholm hits a home run, you know?
Yeah. So I do like Braxton Garrett a lot. I think there is a ton of talent there. But the upside is capped because, one, he's not a huge strikeout guy. So, like, you're not getting a ton of strikeouts. Then you're also not going to get a ton of wins. So all of a sudden, a four-category starting pitcher is really a two-category starting pitcher. And in 10-team leagues, especially if you're playing in shallower formats, that probably doesn't register a ton. He becomes more of a streamer for you. But in 12s and 15s, I think he makes a lot of sense.
Braxton Garrett, Cole Trickle, and Rowdy Rowderson, your top three NASCAR standing drivers. I like Braxton Garrett, too. He plays at home against the Tampa Bay Rays next. Nothing scary about the Tampa Bay Rays this year, so I like Braxton Garrett if you want to stream him next time, because he's been pitching well. All right, last but not least, this pitcher. Hey, Justin, I'm going to give you the eyes. This pitcher I watched pitch, and I just said I was just like, wow, just wow. Ben Brown for the Cubs. He had 10 Ks. He has that presence on the mound. He gets fired up. Man, I want Ben Brown for the Cubs to keep keep rolling starts. I don't know what the Cubs starting situation is, but I watched the dude pitch. It was awesome. He did get bailed out of a home run by a fantastic Cody Bellinger grab in the outfield. And then I also like Ben Brown, too, because in his post-game comments, he was like the nicest, most humble guy ever. I really like he's fired up on the field, and then he's a good dude off the field. Not that that means anything, but it means you're going to be popular with your teammates. So that if you want to go down anecdote road, which I always want to go down the anecdote road. But anyway, what do you think? Am I crazy about Ben Brown?
I don't think you're crazy. I like Ben Brown quite a bit. I've been kind of like scrapbooking in terms of keeping guys like Kyle Hendricks and Jameson Taillon in the rotation over a guy like Ben Brown. Does that mean I think he's going to turn into like a star of a starting pitcher this year? I don't think he's quite there yet. While he has been impressive in his last few outings, especially that most recent start, he allows a ton of hard contact. And he also allows 43% fly balls. He's only like a 30% ground ball guy, which means at some point balls are going to start going over the fence and maybe Cody Bellinger won't be able to save every single one of them. So I think there is some definite regression coming at some point. But he is clearly one of their best five starters, and the Cubs want to win this division. They don't want to mess with the wild card. And if they're going to win this division, they need better starting pitching than what they've been throwing out there. And I think Ben Brown has to be part of that. So I think he's a guy that, especially as things start to heat up more and more in Chicago, is going to have some regression when you should be like at least spot starting on your roster. He should not be available on the waiver wire much longer. So go pick him up if he's available and kind of just be smart about when you're using him because, I think there's going to be some homer problems at some point.
Oh, yeah, especially in the summer in Wrigley Field when that wind's blowing. Watch out, baby. He's going to have some six earned run starts. But if you're in a points league and he's got two starts, dial it up. I mean, I'm all about Ben Brown in a points league, in a ratio 5x5 roto league. You might want to be a little careful with Ben Brown, but man, he looked good yesterday. And I mean, if you can K 10 dudes, you can K 10 dudes, you know. So he's definitely going to have some bad starts, but I think his good starts will outweigh the bad ones. Justin, we're coming up on an hour. We talked about thousands of players, maybe a dozen, but thousands of players. I can't thank you enough for talking fantasy baseball with me. Everyone knows the Sleeper in the Bust. It's one of the best fantasy baseball podcasts out there. One of my personal favorites. Of course, you also write for Fangraphs, and sometimes you do a chat, which I sneak into. I sneak into your chat and I use fake names.
Do you and everybody else?
Everybody yeah. else? Is that yeah, a common yeah. thing? Of course it is. Yeah. No one's going to use their real name. but yeah, check out Justin. Please follow him on X. You can see his at Justin Mason, Friends with Fantasy Benefits. You also do a Friends with Fantasy Benefits. And I apologize for not mentioning that earlier with the good doctor, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I record the Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast on Mondays and Thursdays. Mondays with Dave McDonald, the good doctor, as you said. And then on Thursdays with Ray Kuhn, I recorded an episode earlier this morning. And then I'm with Paul usually 3 days a week, though this week because of the holiday, we've kind of a little bit off. And then I write a Fangraphs 5 days a week and then Fantasy Pros 3 days a week.
All right, Justin, thank you so much. Please tell Danielle I said hello. And thanks again. And everybody go follow Justin on Twitter or X. Appreciate you.
Thanks for having me on.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 2 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.